ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين الذي سمي بالقرآن بالطه وياسين والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الدائم الأبدية على أعداء مجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر لحد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Once again, the month of Muharram has approached, and once again we have the honor to commemorate the days of Muharram and Safar, to remember and remind ourselves the sacrifices rendered by the progeny of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This month of Muharram and Safar, they remind us of the sacrifice given by Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the sacrifices given by the sons and daughters of this household, sacrifices given by his companions, sacrifices given by the ladies and children of this house. It's not just only remind us about the sacrifices, but also remind us of the cause and the reason behind these sacrifices. And that was to uphold the flag of Islam, to uphold the teachings and tenets of Islam, the light and guidance which was being provided by the Holy Prophet to save and preserve and promote and promulgate it to the endless sites and endless corner of this world, to every corner of this world. The way they uphold the teachings and mark that difference between the righteous one and the one those who have left the path of Islam, to clear all the confusions which were at that time among the people, and the times to come, that if people are confused that who is on the right path, who is the correct one, which path is the righteous path, which is the right path, so they can bring this question to the battlefield of Karbala to understand white from black, right from wrong, true from false, so they can adapt the right path and follow the footsteps of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and the teachings of Quran. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
When we go through the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we see several ahadith which guides us to not just commemorate these months and have majalis just a ritualistic thing. Rather, it is a school of thought which should be revived in these days. The school of thought which was been established by the Prophet, the school of thought which was been promoted by Ali ibn Abi Talib, the school of thought which was being saved and uphold its teachings by Imam Hussain alayhi salam. In one of the ahadith, the meanings of that hadith is, a person comes to in the presence of the fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. Imam asked him, Afuzail, atajlisuna wa tatahaddasun? The companion name was Fuzail ibn Yusar. Imam asked him, Fuzail, do you sit together and commemorate and remember the sacrifice of Imam Hussain alayhi salam? Atajlisuna wa tatahaddasun? Do you discuss about us in your gatherings, about our teachings? Fuzail says, yes, my Imam, we do sit and we discuss about your teachings. Then Imam replies that, Fuzail, do you know the one who sits and discuss about our teachings, his heart will be alive on the day when all hearts will be dead. That is the day of judgment. When all hearts will be dead, the heart of a mu'min, a true believer, the one who has not only remembered Prophet and his progeny, rather he has discussed and tried to understand the teachings of Holy Prophet and his progeny, his heart will be alive, will be enlightened, nur will be there. So it's not only that ritualistically We celebrate and we commemorate, we remember these days. No, it has an objective to remind us about the true philosophy and concept behind the sacrifice of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. To clear all the vague clouds which we could have in our minds about the ideology of Islam and the ideology of the Karbala should be removed. We should try to understand, ask questions from ourselves, from the learned people, go through the books of history and hadith to understand these things. Yet in another hadith narrated from the sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam, again the meaning of it, the one who discuss our teachings, whenever they come together, sit together, it's not limited to the majalis of Muharram and Safar. The teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt are not limited on to these days only. Ritualistically, yes, we commemorate these days, reciters are over here, we have Latmiya, we have Matam, we have different things, which is very good and there should be. And after Muharram and Safar, usually it goes to the weekends, or at, I don't know about the center, but there are other centers, even they do not remember, they don't have any program on weekends, rather they wait for the day of Shahada or Velada to have some program. Imam, the sixth Imam says that whenever and wherever you sit, you should discuss about our teachings, about our amr, about our wilaya, about our authority. But unfortunately, as the Muharram and Safar pass away, we tend to forget and rather feel more relaxed that now we don't have to commemorate these things. The responsibility doesn't end. How physically we nourish our bodies 365 days in a year. Our intellect and our heart also require to be nourished by the teachings of Quran, by the guidance of Quran and the teachings and guidance of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam 365 days. Days a year. How we give importance to our schooling, our learning, that we make sure that we go 5 days a week to schools, and if a child would like to skip a day, his or her parent are vigilant and caution that he doesn't skip with the lame excuses. They make sure that that child, that student should attend that school. So why these parents are not make sure that our children also learn something at least from Quran and from the teachings of Ahlul Bayt 5 times in a week at least. Do you think that the teachings which we learn through schooling in our college, in our universities, which knowledge is limited to this world, we strive and make efforts to learn it, and the knowledge which will be required not only in this world but also hereafter. Rather, our rewards of hereafter depends on our iman, the quality of our iman, and the quality of actions we perform in this world. The famous hadith from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, in which he says, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah," that this world is the cultivating ground for hereafter. So why we are so ignorant? Question, answer is simple. Why people are ignorant to many things? The basic answer of this, because they are unaware of the importance of that thing. That's why they are indifferent to those things. If we are not having enough awareness of a particular subject or topic, we are indifferent to those things. We don't care about those things. So if we don't have the importance of Islam, teachings of Islam, and teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we will be indifferent. It doesn't matter. Even if a child goes in Saturday or Sunday schools, we say, oh, this is enough. It's good for us. Question is that, my dear, our children goes to school 5 days a week, 6 hours every day. That is 30 hours in a week. 120 hours in a month, and more than that rather. And we send our children to these Saturday and Sunday schools for 2 hours, 3 hours. Usually it's a 3 hour classes in which games are over there, lunchtime is there, so the quality education is maybe 2 hours only. Do you think that if we learn something 8 hours in a month can be compared to what we learn in 120 hours? And then we would like to be like our children, to be a true believers and mu'min, and to understand Quran and to understand the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. It will only be, this wish can only be fulfilled if we understand this hadith of our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhis salam. That whenever you sit, wherever you sit, you should remember and discuss about the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. It is very important to remember those people and their teachings in every walk of life. Their teachings should not be limited to this center or to the mosque or Imam Barga. Rather, it should be in our house. Rather, it should be in our souls, in our minds, our mindsets. How we are becoming becoming a Muslim, just a cosmetic sort of a Muslim. We are Muslim ritualistically. Yes, we offer our salat. We do fast in the month of Ramadan. We do offer many other things. But still, we do lack. Why? Why we lack in our iman? How this iman should be becomes perfect? It will go through our intellect, through our minds, through our ideologies. Because our ideologies are not clear. From here, in our mind, in our thought process, it doesn't have anything from Quran. It doesn't have anything from the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Our thought process is according to the society and the environment in which we are living. We take direct and indirect learnings from our society, from our schools, from our society, from our media. So maybe we are offering prayers, salat, and we are fasting. But because that salat and that fasting doesn't have its soul in it, it's without its spirit. It doesn't have that spirit. What Quran says about salat, inna salat tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. That salat, the one who offers prayers, he is able to abstain from bad deeds, wrongful acts. But when we go through the society of mu'mineen and believers, we see that people are offering prayers but still indulge in wrongful acts. How come? Because there is a salat, there's a prayers, there's fasting, recitation of Quran is there, recitation of dua is there, but still we see we involved in wrongful acts. Why? Because the soul and spirit of those divine acts do not exist in those acts while we are performing them. We just perform them ritualistically. Because our father has taught us, our mother has told us, that's why we are offering. Because from childhood we were going to mosque, to masjid, to Imam Barga. So we learn these things. If we have been Christians, so we would be going to churches. If we've been like Hindus, we've been going to the mandirs and different things. So we have to do something. Culturally, this is something which is reasons given by our youngsters. They are becoming indifferent to the religion, to the teachings of Quran, teachings of Ahlul Bayt, and brings huge responsibility on elders of a society. Elders of society. Now this hadith of these two divine imams tells us that we should bring a cultural change in our society, in our house, in ourselves. Don't just restrict these things as a ritual. Rather, adapt it as a culture, as a religion, as your faith. Only then these things can be translated to your children. Only then these teachings can be transferred to your generation to come. Otherwise, if not this generation, maybe next, and if not next, after that. One of our friends who is still in South Africa, he's been there for, I think, more than 18, 20 years. So he discovered over there that there have been families living for more than 100 years over there. And when he traced out, just to bring things, summarize it, coming to the direct, to the point, when he asked to trace from where they have come, some of those families were from the families of Sadat. 100 years back, they were being brought over there as slaves from India of that time. And then they lived over there. They got their freedom, they raised their children, and so on. So they were being transformed into a new person, which has no religion or some other religion of that South African things. They have been changed. Why? Because maybe 100 years back, when they were being brought as slaves over there, they were being unable to practice according to their teachings. That is the teaching of Islam. So what happened? When they were not able to practice according to the teachings of Islam, they had children, they could not able to teach them, and so on. After that, years, a new generation came, and so on. Islam was gone. Everybody knows that this era in which we are, there is no more that type of slavery. A person can be changed. Now, people are not being chained, but still they are imprisoned. Imprisoned by different things, from different aspects, different materialistic aspects of our society, which now has become unavoidable. We are prisoners, and we are being chained with our mobile phones, with our internet, lots of technologies which is in the benefit of mankind. It looks like that, apparently. But we are also, one day, if phones are not there, you can ask those people who have gone through, I don't know where, hurricanes or something, traumas overhead or not, but many parts of in America, you will come to know that, like, there is a storm and there is no electricity, there is no phone, no internet, nothing, finished. We cry over the underdeveloped of those societies of third world from where we have come from. But couple of years back in the Long Island, they were been out of electricity for a month, more than a month. If it was been in our country, we have burned the whole city because of that, because we are not having power. But over here, we don't. Why? I don't want to discuss those things right now. We don't have time to go over there. Just to point out those things, that we have to, not just to save that what who we were. No, it is the righteous teachings of Islam that we should remember. Righteous teaching of Islam, for which 124,000 prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came in this world, struggled, propagate what? Inna deen inda Allah al-Islam. Quran says there's only one religion, that is the religion of Islam, that is the religion of peace, which has been promoted from the very first prophet, that is the prophet Adam alayhi salam, till the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Muhammad 1400 years has gone, and now if we lose those teachings, if we lose those teachings, we will be called as a failures. We can go in any part of the world with one condition, that we should be able to practice according to our religion and according to our faith. If we are not, we should migrate from that place, from that city to another city, from one country to another country. That on, if a person gave you an excuse on the day of judgment, that what could I do? I was living in that part of the world where there was vulgarity, there was atheism, where there was some, like, you know, different things. So Allah, myself and my children could not able to practice correctly according to your teachings. This would not be accepted as an excuse. Why? That when we can migrate from Pakistan, from India, from Iran, from Iraq, from different parts, from different countries to this country, we can migrate from this country to another country as well. We have migrated from that world to this world, and we will migrate from this world to hereafter. So migration is there. But one migration is very much important, my dear. That is the migration from wrongful act and wrongful path towards the righteous path. The only thing which can bring us, this guidance is Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa alayhim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Inshallah, in the following days we will discuss briefly about the practical steps, that how a person can achieve excellence, steps towards excellence of mankind. There are several, we will discuss few things. In Quran, in Surah Inshiqaq, verse number 5 says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika qadhan famulaqi. Ya ayyuhal insan, O men, you are supposed to strive towards your Rabb, towards your Lord. Kadihan, and strive hard فملاقي, so you can reach to him, to reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reach the excellence. Reach the excellence. Everyone in this world would like to have excellence, perfection in one's life. Everyone would like to have the best thing, best quality. The question is, what is the best? What is the excellence? What is the perfection? What is the perfection? What is the perfection? This is the question. The question which is being asked nowadays in this world. Everyone says, this is my life. I can decide what is right, what is wrong. No. In this world, you are living in this world where it's been said you are free to do everything. Are you really free to do everything? Of course you will say, no, we are not free to do everything. Then why? We've been said that we are free to do everything. We are free to do within the boundaries which has been described by someone to us. By the parliaments, by the lawmakers. In every country it's like that. We are free within the four boundaries of these laws. So there is no absolute freedom in our society. There is no absolute freedom in our life. But we run away from restrictions and rules and regulations where we can, where we feel that nobody is going to catch us. We run away from that at times, and at times not. And because we have this, somehow we have developed that because Allah will not going to catch us, give us a ticket because you have broken a law or signal, no ticket will come at your place. Well, apparently it's like that in this world. All tickets will be for hereafter. So we feel that the restrictions are over there. We said this is haram, everything. When we go to the restaurants, we say we cannot eat this, we cannot eat that, we cannot go to this restaurant, we cannot go this way. Oh, how much restrictions we have. The same question is asked, can we park our car whenever, wherever we would like to have? No. Can we throw trash on the roads? Because I would like to throw trash on the road. You say no. Why? Because it's a law. It's that you cannot do that. You will have penalty. You will be imprisoned. You will be this and that. So when we are living in a place, we respect the law. And we should be respecting the law of that country, wherever we are living. But the thing is, when we understand that we should respect the laws of a country, which is those laws which has been made by men, which are tend to be changed, and they have been changed several thousand times from the day it has been made. But when it comes to the restrictions and laws laid by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we say that we cannot abide those things. We have always have excuse. When you live in a country, can you say that, no, I will accept this law and I will not accept that law? Is it possible? If you have been caught, you can taken to the court, you will say, okay, I am a citizen of this country, but I do not accept these laws. So I will not going to practice according to those laws. Can you do that? No. But when it comes to Islam, we say, yes, I will accept to offer prayers, yes. I will accept to fast, yes. But when it comes to other things, about eating, what to eat, what not to eat, what to drink, what not to drink, where to go, where not to go, how to practice different things, your education, your businesses, your deals, how to do, you say, no, we cannot, because this society is not like that. So if you feel that you cannot practice, or maybe you can practice, but you don't want to practice according to that. You want to make yourself more comfortable in your thought, in your mindset. Yes, I will be comfortable if I will not do this thing, and I will leave this act of Islam. My dear, laws are laws, and laws are being made, especially if the laws are made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those divine laws. The laws of a government could be for the perfection of a society, not a person. But the laws which has been laid by Islam are not only for the perfection of a society, but also excellence of mankind. And not only excellence of a mankind in this world, but also for hereafter. Rather, this excellence and perfection is for hereafter, where a man will live forever. And that's what we see in the whole story and the event of Karbala. Why all those lives were being sacrificed? Why Imam Hussain alayhi salam sacrificed his life, his children's life, his family's life? Why? Because Allah wanted to save those teachings of Islam which can bring excellence and perfection for the world, for the mankind. And there were people over there who would wanted to distort those teachings of Islam. And in our times as well, evil was there at that time, evil is in our times. There was time they were being Fir'aun and Namrud and Shaddad and those people, and there were time they were being Yazid, and now there are in our time people like Fir'aun and Yazid and Namrud. So evil was at that time, evil is also in our times. So we should able to uplift ourselves to that level, at least to the level of the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, so we could encounter the attacks which is been coming from the Yazidis of our times. Until and unless we don't understand the philosophy and teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and the philosophy of Karbala, we would not be able to upgrade ourselves and bring ourselves up to that mark to among the followers of our 12th Imam Imam Al-Asr Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Yes. There was an objective in the eyes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is that inni lam akhruj ashran wala batra wala mufsidan wala fasida. I'm not leaving this Medina to achieve some materialistic gains. Rather, an amura bil maruf wa anha anil munkar wa urida, an urida that I would like to do amar bil maruf wa nahi anil munkar, and would like to walk on the footsteps of my grandfather, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and the footsteps and the adopt the lifestyle of my father Ali ibn Abi Talib. Not only the objective was been described by Imam Hussein alayhi salam at that time, but also the strategy was being defined by him. That my strategy would be the strategy of my grandfather. My strategy would be the same strategy of my father. And my goal is to uproot the evil of which prevails in that society. To do amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. The day when they were sitting in the mosque of the Holy Prophet in Medina, a messenger was being sent to them. Who was there? Imam Hussein was there. Abdullah ibn Umar was there. A couple of other peoples were there. And when a person reached over there, that Amir, the ruler of Medina, would like to host you over there and ask you to come over there to see him. Imam, from his knowledge, Imam said, "Qad halakat taghiya," that the person, the Muawiya, has died. And because those other people who were sitting with Imam Hussein al-Islam were on yaqeen, that they were convinced that whatever Imam Hussein says is 100% correct. So those people, they did not even went back to their homes. They ran away from Medina. Because they knew that after Muawiyah, Yazid will be the next ruler of Islamic territory, and the ruler of Medina has called them to get their allegiance. But it was Imam Hussein alayhi salam, a brave man, the men of his time, and not only of his time, Imam Hussein is the man of all eras. He's the man of era. He is the role model, not only for Muslims, but for all oppressed of the world. All the oppressed of the world. In South Africa, when apartheid was being uprooted from there, some media took an interview from Nelson Mandela. Say, from where you got all this power? This briefly I'm telling you, maybe not his exact words, but the meaning was the same meaning as the spirit of this. He said, "I saw that people and Iran could able to bring change and revolution. And the cause and reason behind was the teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Teachings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So I gained that power and spirituality from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Even today, people from different religion, they praise Imam Hussein alayhi salam because he uphold the flag of justice, and he sacrificed not only his life but the life of his beloved ones. So Imam Hussein was there. Imam said, okay, I will come. Then he gathered 18 youngsters and brave people from his clan and asked them to accompany him to meet the ruler. So when they reached over there, he said, you people stay outside. I will go inside. And if you people hear the loud voices, just storm inside and you can handle the situation at that time. So when Imam Hussein alayhi salam went over there, they discussed. The ruler of Medina asked Imam Hussein alayhi salam to give his allegiance. Imam said, are you going to take the allegiance from me in the darkness of night? No people could see that you are taking allegiance from me. Ask for allegiance tomorrow morning in front of people. The ruler was convinced and he said, okay. But there was a mal'oon over there. He said to the ruler, if you allow Hussein to go back, remember Hussein will not come in your hands again. And at that time, the ruler insists to give allegiance for Yazid. Imam at that time said that that parameter of a free person has been given at that time. Mithli la yubaya mithla, that a person like me will never give allegiance to the person like Yazid. And this is something which should be in our heart for all times, that we should not give allegiance to anyone who's against the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Even if we have to give everything of our life and our lives as well, we should not compromise on this criteria which has been given by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Mithli la yubaya mithla. And Imam, when the voices had been raised, those 18 brave men of his clan came into from Bani Hashim and saved him. And that's how Imam Hussein alayhi salam, without giving his allegiance, he came out. And that time was a time when he decided to leave Medina. Allahu Akbar. Yes. On the 28th of Rajab, and it was the 60th Hijrah, that Imam Hussein left Medina. When he came back to his home, he asked Zainab and Umm Kulthum to pack up their things and that we are moving from Medina. They asked that, Hussein, why? My brother, why we are leaving this Medina? This Medina belongs to us. This Medina is the place where we have been born. This is the Medina. This city is the city of our grandfather Muhammad. How can we leave this place? Imam Hussein said that now we cannot live anymore in this place. Many people came to him and he say, Hussein, if you're afraid for your life, we will save you. We will give you protection. Allahu Akbar, Imam Hussein said, no, I'm not afraid for my life. Rather, I'm afraid of Islam, that it will be distorted and demolished and it will be wiped off. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, at the same night when he was returning back from the meeting of ruler, he went to the grave of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. He went over there and he said, O Prophet, you can see that what this nation is doing with your progeny, and now we are forced to leave this Medina. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The next day he again went on the grave of the Holy Prophet. He cried and cried and asked the help from Holy Prophet. He fainted while he was on the grave. He fainted. In his dream, he saw that the Holy Prophet is over there. Imam, as a small child, he ran away towards the Prophet and say, oh my grandfather, take me away from this world just now. I would not like to live in this world. The Holy Prophet said, Hussein, not so quick. Inna Allah yaraka qatila. Allah would like to test you. Allah would like to see you as a shaheed. You have to sacrifice your life, and inshallah, you will be with us one day. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then Imam Hussein went on the grave of his mother, Hazrat Fatima, and said, Oh my beloved mother, accept my farewell. Now I am leaving this Medina. I know that I would not be able to come back and come and salute on your grave. Accept my salam. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني السلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. Oh yes, all those people, they were ready to leave Medina when Hazrat Zainab came forward to ride on his camel. You know what happened? From one side, Hazrat Abbas came to her. From the other side, Hazrat Ali Akbar came to help her aunt. Allahu Akbar. There were two people over there to help her. But on the day when she was coming back from Medina, there will be no one to help her except Sajjad. Allahu Akbar. Yes, the day came that they left Medina. That was the last when Imam Hussein saw last time visited the grave and shrine of the Holy Prophet. That was the Medina. That was the same Hussein. The Medina. Imam Hussein used to play around Masjidun Nabawi. Hussein, people has seen the Holy Prophet kissing on his lips. People has seen Imam Hussein riding on the shoulders of Holy Prophet. Imam, the people has listened from here their own ears that Inna al-Hussein Misbahul Hidayah wa Safinatun Najah. They've heard from Holy Prophet that ana min al-Husayn, Husayn minni wa ana min al-Husayn, that I am from Husayn and Husayn is from me, that the one who loves Husayn loves me, and the one who loves me loves Allah, and the one who will be, that who will be enemy of Husayn will be my enemy, and the one who will be my enemy will be enemy of Allah. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, as-salamu alayka ya Ahla Bayt al-Nabuwa, wa ma'adan al-Risala, wa mukhtalaf al-Malaika, wa mahabat al-Wahi. Allahumma, Allahumma nas'aluka wa nad'uk, bismika al-Azim al-Azam, al-Azil, ajal al-Akram, wa bidam maqtul bi-Karbala. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna hadha al-qaleel. O Allah, accept this brief ibadah from us. O Allah, give us tawfiq. Give us tawfiq to understand the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. O Allah, give us tawfiq to follow the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. O Allah, enlighten our graves and the grave of our parents with the light of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. O Allah, give us tawfiq to seek the shafa'at and intercession of Quran and Ahlul Bayt on the day of judgment. O Allah, Allah, give or forgive us and forgive our parents and forgive our ancestors. O Allah, give us tawfiq. Give us tawfiq to defend Islam. O Allah, give us tawfiq to do good on the path of Islam. O Allah, help and help all those people who are seeking your help, especially the oppressed people of the world, all the people around the world who are in facing challenges. Allah help them out. Bihaqqi Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad alayhi salam. Allah hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, and give us tawfiq to be amongst his true followers. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم كن لوليك لحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل الساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. اللهم صل ما تمحو السلام.